you're in seats for a little bit of a reason, partly because I am a teacher, and so having a group of people looking at me like that is a little weird. In my classroom, I have my kids set up in table groups like this so that they can have conversations and things like that. So if you're not sitting at a table with somebody, maybe we can get up and make sure that you're sitting with somebody so that you can share, because this is going to be very much like a classroom setting where I'll ask questions and give you a chance to talk to each other and stuff like that. I'm not a traditional pastor, and I hope that's okay. So a few weeks ago, when the new board had their first meeting, one of the board members, Dwight, was talking about love not being just the word love, but as a lot of us have heard, if you're married and have ever gone through marriage counseling or any kind of couples counseling or anything like that, that love isn't just a feeling. Love is a decision that you make, and love is an action. And that is 100% true for relationships. But I started thinking, because I was thinking about Faith Promise at that point, of course, and I really started thinking about, well, what happens when we start taking that idea of love that we hear Christ talk about in the Gospels and start thinking of it in those terms of love being an action word, love being something that you do and not just, you know, something that you feel for a neighbor or feel for somebody who is going through something difficult. What actions can we do to show that love? And so because we're Nazarene, if we want to think about the next slide, there are three pillars to the Church of the Nazarene, right? Anybody know what they are? What's one? We're Christian. Good. Good. We got that one. We'll put the other two up in a minute, but anybody know what another one is? Missional. Good. That's the third one that's going to be on there. And holy, right? So we are Christian, we are holy, and we are missional. So what would love look like as Christians? And so if we look at the next slide, I have some scriptures up there. From Matthew, in chapter 22, we probably all know the story, but one of the things that was asked of Christ was, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And we probably all know it, but let's read it anyway. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like this: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets and those two commandments." So we know that Jesus tells us that to be Christian is to love our neighbors, right? Christ tells us right there it is the second half of the greatest commandment. Some people argue whether that's the second greatest commandment or whether it's the second half of the greatest commandment. In Bible studies, we have talked about that. But, you know, clearly we are supposed to not just love God, but we are supposed to love our neighbors, right? That was the mission of Christ. That's what he did. And so what I'd like you guys to do in your table groups, take a minute, and if you want to jot some stuff down on paper, if you just want to talk about it, either way. But what are some things, some physical things, if love is an action word, right? What are some things that you can do to love your neighbor? So what are some things that we came up with? Does anybody, I heard wonderful conversations. Anybody have anything that they want to share? Travis has the best one. Okay. What you got?
Having engaged conversations with heartfelt concern and willingness to help, even if it's just to listen.
Okay, yeah. Listening is definitely, that's something that we can do, right? Good. And I heard that multiple times. Awesome. Anything else?
And it's like, even with listening, listen with the intent to listen, not with the intent to reply.
Yeah. And a lot of times we are listening, but really we're just waiting for them to stop talking so we can jump in with our next thought. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yoan? Hugs. Yes, hug people. Hugging is such a wonderful way to love, right? So, awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, so, first pillar is we are a Christian, right? Second pillar is we are holy. What does holy mean? From a Nazarene perspective. To be set apart, right? So, holy is to be set apart, but why? Why does God set us apart, right? And so if we look at the Gospel of John, a new command I give you is to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I thought it was awfully perfect that as I was asking Lloyd about servanthood and how that, how he and his church carried that out, what was he talking about? He was talking about love, right? That's how we are set apart as a Church of the Nazarene. That's something that we don't typically do in society, right? Society isn't all about loving other people and thinking about other people first. That's a weird concept for us, right? Hopefully it's not a weird concept for us as Christians, but as an American society, I don't think that's really who we are anymore. If you put up the next scripture, please. This one I think is really important, that we didn't choose God, but Christ chose us and appointed us, right? We were bought at a price, and that we have a purpose, right? When we agree to serve God, when we agree to accept that gift of salvation, we've agreed that we are going to serve him. And what does he want us to do? He's appointed us so that we might go out and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So again, it's there, right? He called us. He set us apart to love one another. And if we think about love as an action word, we kind of talked about that stuff already, right? God set us apart. God made us holy so that we can love one another. It's right there in the Gospel of John, right? It's very clear. God set us apart so that we can love one another. So that's two pillars. One more to go, right? And this is the one that I'm supposed to be the most excited about, right? This is the third one. So we are Christian, we are holy, and we are missional, right? Now, being the NMI president and just feeling missions as I do, I look at those first two and I see missions. Because to me, what is the mission of the church? Go and make disciples, right? What are we supposed to be doing? What is God calling us to do? Okay, we've all seen this, right? Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." So God has called us for this purpose, right? He has set us apart to love one another, and he has called us to go and make disciples. That is the mission of the church. And maybe this is just my perspective, but I don't know how we can fulfill the mission of the church. I don't know how we can be Christian and how we can be holy if we're not doing that. If that's the mission of the church, how can you be Christian if you're not trying to make disciples, if you're not trying to love one another, right? How can we be set apart? How can we do the job that God has set us apart to do if we're not trying to make disciples? That is missions, right? Yes, we do that globally. We give to the World Evangelism Fund. We give to Alabaster. We give to the World Broadcast System or whatever, World Broadcast Fund, or, yeah, something like that. We give to those things because we can't physically be everywhere, right? Some people have accepted God's call to be a missionary and gone to do that work, but we can't always do that. But that doesn't mean that because we give to the World Evangelism Fund and because we give to Alabaster and because we give to all these other things, that all of a sudden we're off the hook and we don't have to do anything, right? Yes, our money shows our love. It absolutely does. And, you know, when we talk about faith promise, that is a huge way that we can show our love. But that, in my opinion, that's not enough. We need to be doing something, right? And as was talked about last week, as Brian, I think, is going to talk about in a few weeks, as we talk about the mission of our church for the next while, we need to be doing something. We need to get in our community and show them that we love them. We need to be doing action-y things. And so one of the things that the missions board has decided that we're going to try and do for this year is each one of us on the missions board is going to try and lead and run an activity that's going to show the community that we love them. And so we are going to, you know, definitely ask you guys to be involved and you know, help us do these things because we can't do it, just the five of us. We need you. We need you to be involved, and God has called us to be involved, right? So we need to get involved in our community. We need to be doing these things. God has called us to be doing these things. And so I pray and I hope that as the missions board starts, you know, churning out these activities, not churning out, that sounds like we don't care. We do. As we start putting these activities together to really try and serve and love our community, that you will absolutely get involved and be right there to help and love with us. So that is going to be our prayer. We're going to try and lead you in that to do what God's called us to do. So if we look at the next slide, please. We're going to break into our table groups again. We've talked about this already, but hopefully things have been stirring in our minds a little bit. How do we serve our communities? What are some things that we can be doing? In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells us that instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give this life as a ransom for many. If we're following Christ's example, we're not coming to this world. We're not coming in our Christian walk to come and hang out on Sundays. We're coming to serve. We need to serve our communities. And so I have a couple of ideas, which we'll get to in a minute, but I want to give you guys a chance to think. Okay, what are some things that we can be doing in this community to show this community that we love them? So as we think about discipleship, making disciples is not just evangelism, right? You know, hopefully evangelism is, and you know, making a follower of Christ is the end result of that. But discipleship is a process, right? And so a couple of things that I came up with, if you want to put those up there. So finding outreach opportunities, we've done a couple of them, right? We had our fall festival last year where we had people in the doors that we've never had before. I know we do our Board King convention every year that, you know, if we didn't have that, then those are people who probably wouldn't come in these doors without that. And the purpose of it is to build relationships, right? True discipleship is about getting involved in the person's life, getting to know them, getting to know what's going on. And then once we know what's going on, then we can work on meeting their needs, right? To show that love. Because especially if they don't already have experience with religion, they might not see us sharing the gospel as love necessarily. So we need to go about meeting those needs first. What can I do for you? You know, what are you struggling with? How can I listen? How can I pray for you? How can, you know, let's get a cup of coffee and let's talk. Sorry, I stole your idea. Did you guys come up with anything? What were some things that you guys came up with? Okay. Yeah, this was very general. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, hopefully we don't necessarily have all the answers yet, right? Hopefully as we're praying, God will bring new ideas to us, absolutely.
I've been talking to some pastors who are doing this, and one of the good evangelism / discipleship tools that they've been using is when you're standing in a long line at a coffee shop, you buy for the person behind them and ask if you can have a coffee with them and sit down and talk with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It costs you $4 or $5, however much their drink costs, and you have a chance to love them. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're going to buy their coffee, they kind of have to talk to you for at least a little bit, right? So, but no, I love the idea. And sometimes you get that pay it forward idea. I've heard of that happen where you pay for the person behind you, then they pay for the first person behind them.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's still not an evangelical group, but still, I think about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Slow on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You had something, Brent?
Yeah, it was just the idea of one of the things that, you know, as we meet people, this might change, right? But there are communities for this church that are not necessarily local, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as we get to meet people and know people and talk with them and build these relationships and do these things you've got on the slide, then we're going to become more aware of their needs and ways that we can help. But we might have no idea about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we definitely have, you know, those kind of communities right close by. We have Arbors that deals with Alzheimer's. That's somewhere where we could drive 2 minutes and we're there, and we can get involved in their lives.
We have the Gateway Camp sing today, and so you go, you could sing some songs and sit with some elderly people.
Hey, there's a way to serve your community, right? First opportunity today, in just a couple hours, right? Perfect. Perfect. So as we keep going through, the missions board is you know definitely praying about things that we can be doing. If you have ideas, please talk to one of us. I know we're not all here, but if you are on the missions board, would you please stand up? Or the missions committee, whatever we're calling ourselves. Patty Arnett is also a part of us. She could not be here today. But yeah, so Barbara, it's weird to call you that. And Chris and Pastor Brian and Patty are as well. And of course you can talk to me if you have ideas, but Dwight inspired all of this. So thank you, Dwight, if you listen to this at some point. You definitely inspire this. But please talk to one of us. If you have ideas, if you want to get involved in something, please let one of us know.